Welcome to the Dry Bar Comedy Podcast, the podcast where you're going to hang out with your fave dry bar comedians and get to know them a little bit. You like that abbreviation?
Oh, that was short for favorite dry bar comedians.
Yeah.
You're How do you quick, come Jordan. Up with this stuff, man?
I write it all down. How are you doing today?
I'm great. It's been, it's hard when I'm not podcasting with you. I think about this podcast and our time together and. So when we finally are able to be together and have a podcast, I'm just hyped.
Mutch. Oh, meaning mutual. We have a great guest.
A wonderful guest today, so he should be extra hyped.
And he's also a close friend of both of us, so this should be a both a...
Well, I wouldn't say that.
Oh, no, he's already here.
He's here?
Good friend of... One more than the other.
Who is...
I'm just kidding.
And over the course of the interview, he will say who is who.
Yeah, in the comments, put who you think Alex is better friends with.
And the other person will be permanently kicked off the podcast as host.
Oh, I don't want all that work. That sounds hard.
All right.
Let's start to a clip, though, before we bring Alex in.
Let's do it.
Hot clip. I need to tell you, this is all you need to know about me, is that I live next to a Golden Corral. It's kind of my vibe. I watch that Golden Corral, I study it. They put a drive-thru in at the Golden Corral by my house. Yeah, can you believe that? I've been sad before, but I haven't been Golden Corral drive-thru sad. You need to put a social worker at the entrance just to check in on people. You don't have to do this. There are people who love you. A drive-thru. That means they want you to say your buffet order out loud. To another person. I've never been that vulnerable with anyone in my whole life. I'm not mature enough to admit my buffet order to myself when I'm in the buffet. I just get my plate and I black out for 5 minutes. And I wake up at my table and I'm like, I guess this is who I am on the inside. Even when I'm done, I put napkins over my plate just so the waitress doesn't know my shame. I feel bad for the person that has to work the drive-thru at Golden Corral. Just all day listening to buffet orders. Just going, welcome to Golden Corral. Okay, slow down, buddy. You want what? Mashed potatoes and ice cream? Together? You know, I gotta tell you, it's just part of my training that those are gonna melt into each other. Oh, that's what you like. Okay, well, no judgment. Sweet and savory, I get it. And you want chocolate cake? Okay. Yeah, I'll try not get gravy on it. All of a sudden, you're picky. Oh, the cake's for your birthday. Oof. Happy, happy birthday. We're all here.
Well, as you saw from that clip, you know him from his 3 Dry Bar comedy specials, Spurious, Thirsty, and the Big Gulp Kid, and he is one of the loves of my life. Bring in Alex Velluto, everybody.
Thank you. Thanks for having me, you guys. That's very nice. I feel very special.
You are very special.
Thanks.
We couldn't wait to have you.
I'm glad to be back.
And you came bearing gifts.
Yeah, yeah, man. I gave everyone a Big Gulp.
The Big Gulp kid is not just some idea. It is a person and an action.
How did you get your branding on these cups?
A lot of hard work, you know? Practice, practice, practice.
But you... what?
No, nothing. I'm just relaxed.
I'm having a great time.
Yeah.
What were you doing before you came to the podcast today, Alex?
podcast is so good.
That's a natural question.
Well, I feel like we just watched the Golden Corral clip.
Yeah, that's right. I'd actually, so for those who haven't seen the special, you just saw the clip, so I don't have to intro it at all. There's a drive-thru here in Orem on University Parkway that I'd always drive by that had a drive-thru at the Golden Corral, and I wrote a whole hilarious bit on it that you just saw.
You just watched and enjoyed.
We all watched, yeah.
I'd never, the dirty secret is that I'd never been to the drive-thru. I wrote all that without having personally experienced it.
Wow.
So today I went in and did it for the first time.
We need to hear all about this experience.
So I went and they have the menu, the screens, like TV screens, but they're all busted. So
they just go, just name a thing. We probably have it.
Exactly.
This is a new place. This has popped up in the last, 3 years maybe?
Yeah, it was during COVID that they brought it out, which they figured that people would need Golden Corral during COVID. Yeah. I'm pretty sure Golden Corral started COVID. But so I drive up to the thing. The TVs are broken. I don't think it's working. So I wait there for a little bit, and then I start driving away, and all of a sudden the guy's like, hello? I don't think they'd use this thing in a while. Like,
he was wiping cobwebs off of the speaker.
Who's there? And I tried ordering the same order that I do in the joke.
Yeah.
At first I asked for a slice of ham. And he said, like, we don't do ham by the slice.
What do they do about it?
Apparently they have combo meals. And he wanted me to go to goldencorral.com to look at their menu. Since their TVs were broken. Busted. Yeah. But I just made him list off all the menu items by hand.
Were they broken? Like the screens themselves were shattered? Or just like a technical difficulty.
Yeah, just technical. It said like HDMI input not red or something.
Someone's given up at the
Golden
Corral.
They're really trying to get people to not do it.
Corrals aren't known for their technology in general.
That's true. Still living in the 1800s over there. Yeah. But it was funny. He listed all the combo meals because I asked for an individual slice of ham, and he's like, we don't do that. I'm like, well, how does it work? And he's like, well, we got combos. We got pot roast, chicken roast. We got creamed corn. He's just listed all the stuff. I asked for ice cream, and they don't do ice cream through the drive-thru.
You can't even get not even separately?
But, yeah, so here's what I got. This is what it looks like.
Let's see your order.
I did it just before. A roll.
Oh, that's nice.
It looks like there's a little piece of butter in there, too. There you
go. Good enough, folks.
That's nice. Squishy roll.
Cookies in there. Was this included, or do you specify this stuff?
No, that just came away.
Now that you dug your nails into it, I'm all right.
Is that the first time you've squeezed a roll into a microphone?
No.
It didn't seem like it. No.
Is that something they teach at radio broadcaster school?
Yeah, it's the roll rule.
When describing bread, you gotta squeeze it in there. Mm. How is it?
Is it good?
Is it stale?
Yeah. No. No, I mean, there's a hard outer crust.
I like rolls like that.
And then inside, it's soft and it's sweet. Want to try it a little bit?
You've pecked at it enough.
Okay.
It's all yours.
There you go.
Look at this. That's pretty well put together.
Yeah, this is the pot roast combo.
Okay.
I don't know if you're picking that up. For those on the audio version, which you reminded me of, how would you describe it, Taylor? I'm going to put you on the spot.
Oh, this pot roast?
Yeah.
We got a succulent roast there, kind of a brownish color.
Looks juicy, roast-like.
Juicy. There's some sort. What's that in the bottom corner?
This is
a macaroni and cheese.
Macaroni and cheese.
No, I mean your bottom corner.
Mashed potatoes?
Below the pot roast, that greenish substance.
Oh, I think it's like a.
This looks like a piece of celery.
Yeah. Oh no. We're losing listeners as it's going.
Yeah, that's celery. That's
okay.
Good.
Okay.
And then equal sides of mashed potatoes and mac and cheese.
Which so I found interesting that they have the container that has the segmented parts. They don't even have that on the inside.
No.
That kind of pokes the holes in your joke.
Right. Because the beauty of going to a buffet is the little incidental mixing that happens at the at the borders.
Incidental mixing.
Yeah.
Things you think shouldn't mix, but maybe it's a delightful surprise at the end.
Exactly.
Could you choose your sides, or are they standard?
So they have mashed potatoes, mac and cheese, corn, creamed corn, beans, green beans, chili. They just listed the whole thing for me.
At what point did he say to look it up online? How long had he been going?
He brought it up twice before I made him just list me the sides. Not pulling up goldencorral.com on me. Not accepting cookies from them.
Yeah, you don't need the algorithm seeing that search. Yeah. On
Start getting antidepressant ads.
I'm having trouble believing you have actually never been to goldencorral.com. Alex.
I haven't. Should we check it out live on air? Is that a thing? Jamie from Joe Rogan, can you pull up Golden Corral? No? Okay. No.
Our TV's busted.
much like Golden Corral, actually. Yeah.
Do you want a bite of it like this?
Do you guys
eat on here?
This
is our first time.
Usually.
Okay.
I'll take a bite of pot roast. Why not?
Okay.
You know what I think happened?
Yeah,
I feel like they used to have a more, you know, expansive menu. Like when they came up with the drive-through idea, like you could get literally anything. Kind of like in your joke, you could get anything you wanted. And then over time, they realized how unfeasible.
Yeah.
Maybe your joke created chaos. Oh, people saw it and were doing these funny orders. Like, they get one thing and two sides. That's it. We can't keep doing this.
I was hoping it would just be like, okay, I'm out. I'm out in the buffet. I'm over by the ham section. What do you want? And then you just got to order them around.
You're sending an earpiece with them as they're out in the...
That's what I was hoping. They have made it a little bit too...
It'd be cool if they were wearing cameras on their head.
Yeah.
And you could see it on the ordering screen.
Yeah.
And it's like, no, not that. Not that scoop. Go back. Yeah. Back to the fresh parts of the mac and cheese. There you go.
That could be a whole subsection of ASMR where people go and... virtually eat Golden Corral for you.
It's the only thing that helps me sleep anymore is buffet ASMR.
Second to eating pot roast is listening to people eat pot roast.
Did you guys hear what I said? It's pretty good.
Mm-hmm. Buffet. Can you give ASMR. It one more run?
Buffet ASMR.
That's good.
Buffet ASMR.
Clip that.
Clip that.
Yeah, if we already got the reel for this week.
Yeah. That's merch. That's a t-shirt. Buffet ASMR. Do you want to use that?
Or sure. Can you hear it now?
Oh, I can hear it from here, and I don't like that noise.
So if you folks are wondering what those wet noises are, those are Alex eating
just
mac
digging
and
into
cheese.
Mac and cheese.
Yeah, my noises are wetter than usual today.
Everything is wet noise at Golden Corral.
Yeah.
Everything's a little bit wet.
Yeah, that's quite true.
And I got chocolate cake.
Oh, but no ice. They wouldn't give you ice cream,
right? It's pretty lame.
Does that come with the combo meal, or is that an additional
thing? That was additional.
Okay.
I did mention that it was my birthday after, and they still charged me for it. And I in the joke, I act out them singing you happy birthday.
They didn't
through
do
the,
that.
No, I was hoping that would happen.
Wait, when is your birthday today? It's not today, is it?
No, but you can lie when you do that.
That's close.
Stuff. Are you born in
March?
April?
You're March.
March. Yeah, so end of this month. Or today, depending on how long these take to put together.
We could release it on your birthday.
Yeah, would you like that? Anything. Anything for you.
Yeah, I might be canceled by then, but...
Because of
yeah,
this?
Yeah, I'm involved in the whole P. Diddy situation, so...
Oh, no.
Yeah, it's pretty bad. I'll let it come out on its own.
Okay, thank goodness.
I mean... You guys deal with people like that, right? So it's all good.
We've had some really controversial interviews on here.
Yeah.
It's kind of, we're always pushing the envelope and talking clean comedy. They go hand in hand.
Hey, is Golden Corral, it's Golden Corral, is that how you say it?
Yeah, hard C.
Is that a national chain? Like, because you're living in Nashville now. Mm-hmm. Are they over there too?
Yeah, they're over there.
Okay.
I don't live places without a GC nearby.
That's what you talk to your realtor about.
Yeah.
About before you.
Yeah.
I will say in Texas, I went to a Golden Corral in Texas, and it's so much better than the Golden Corrals here. But I think most fast food in Texas was better. I think they have to take it more seriously.
Yeah, it's kind of a sport down there.
But I remember going to the Golden Corral and being like, this is actually like really good, which I didn't really, not to disparage Golden Corral, but
yeah,
I'll eat at a buffet and enjoy it, but that was, mm-hmm. the quality was good.
Is that the top of your buffet list?
No.
What is?
What's your top buffet?
Well, I just think if you're in Utah, I mean, not everybody's going to know this, but Utah has its own chain called Chuck-O-Rama.
Yeah.
That I think less selection than Golden Corral.
Why always the, like, Old West theme for buffets?
Yeah, because I feel like they didn't have much food back then.
What's another good theme for a buffet? I feel like it's disrespectful.
Yeah.
Future? Yeah.
Donner Party's buffet. We don't know what meat this is, but it's fresh, you know.
Yeah, that is weird. Is it because would they circle wagons and everybody brought food out and you just went...
Homestyle cooking. Homestyle, I mean...
Because I've always thought I wouldn't like to, you know, have been like a pioneer growing up in the olden times. But if there are a lot of buffets around,
yeah.
I think I would have thrived.
It's usually Chinese buffets and then the Chuck-O-Rama, Golden Corral, Cracker Barrel types.
Cracker Barrel is not a buffet.
It's not?
You've never been to Cracker Barrel before?
I swear, I have a faint memory of going to Cracker Barrel, and
I was just taking food off other people's plates.
Maybe that's what it was. There was a lot of yelling. There's a lot of yelling, too.
Any place is a buffet if you're confident in that.
Yeah. It's coming out there's been to scooping. Yeah. Yeah, that looks good. That looks good.
I like that.
Alex, you always have wild things happening with the brands you talk about on your jokes.
Yeah.
Tell us a little about your, what were you going to talk about?
Oh, no, I was answering your question. I just cut you off.
Well, you have your 7-Eleven merch on. I think your experience.
Yeah, I thought you'd never ask.
Tell us more about this.
So, as you may or may not know, my special is called The Big Gulp Kid. It's now available on YouTube, on the Dry Bar Comedy YouTube channel, and in the app. There's so many ways to consume it.
Yeah.
But the clip of the Big Gulp Kid joke got put out on YouTube, and then not too long after, the 7-Eleven Instagram account followed me and sent me a message.
This was a huge day, yeah. Alex.
What's
texting?
It like meeting your comedy idols?
Oh, man. I'm never going to be more happy than that day. It was the peak of my career. It's all downhill from there. You hope people see your stuff, but that one view made it worth it.
Yeah, know? Yeah.
I got it pulled up here.
Especially with how many people are doing 7-Eleven related material nowadays, yeah, for them to choose you is a huge
cream of the crop,
mm-hmm. cream corn of the crop.
Anyway,
is that a Golden Corral?
Yeah,
trying to connect the dots.
I just like gaslighting Taylor's jokes. But check this out. They wrote me, "Hey, Big Gulp Kid, we heard you're the most loyal 7-Eleven customer ever, so obviously we had to DM you. To say thanks, we wanted to send you a little something, so let me know your shirt size and shipping address if you're interested." And at first I just said, "I could never accept such gratitude. I truly do just love you."
But then you did accept it.
I did accept it, yeah. I'm not that big of a person. But we chat back and forth. I'll comment on their posts and they'll respond to me. So,
oh, really?
We've become close friends.
I want you to 7-Eleven. Become their spokesperson so bad.
I would, too. That's a lot. I keep wearing all their swag on anything that I do. So I'm hoping they'll notice me even more. I'm preaching the gospel of 7-Eleven.
Do you ever think about who's behind the Instagram account of 7-Eleven? Who's the actual person messaging you?
Oh, I don't know.
The big cult man.
man. It's good to be on this podcast.
Well, I'm thinking you're the big gulp kid. There's a superior to the big gulp man.
I was picturing the Kool-Aid man, but you know, filled with Mountain Dew.
That could be it, too.
Yeah. It's just a big Slurpee that runs it.
And famously, on 7-Eleven Day, you did the unthinkable by going and cleaning a 7-Eleven without them asking.
I did.
instead of everyone else, all of us monsters, to just take from 7-Eleven.
I wanted to give back a little bit.
I did. Right? I thought it was a very magnanimous thing to do. I went in and I had my brother-in-law film me while I brought in Windex and a broom. I asked them if they had a mop at one point, and they're like, you don't have to do this.
They're like, in fact, please don't.
Yeah, I was like trying to clean the store while also hiding from the employees just in case they were going to kick me out. I harassed the customers that were getting free Slurpees that day and told them to clean up their act and stuff. Yeah. So
it's a very funny video. Go to Alex's YouTube,
alexvaluto.com. Is it on there?
All my links are at alexvaluto.com. But yeah, Instagram's at avaluto. Check it out. It's a good video. You're going to have to scroll back to July 11th. But it's good.
It's worth the scroll.
Yeah. We'll repost it on my page. And Drybar will post it.
Maybe if we flip this, we could put a little snapshot of it in there.
Yeah, for sure. I appreciate that. Thanks for doing that ahead of time.
No problem.
Yeah.
Despite what I said about other people having 7-Eleven humor, you kind of have, I feel like, cornered the market, maybe besides Jim Gaffigan, on brand, national brand-related humor. What is it about this subject matter that attracts you to it?
I'm just trying to cast a wide net. I'm trying to just do a joke about any kind of national brand, hoping that something will happen, Hot Pockets
like
type thing, because I did see that path and I like to use specific brands and it works for Jim Gaffigan and I'm still working on it.
I like it.
Yeah.
I like it. What's next? What's the next brand you're going
to? You've been in lots of Alexa stuff recently.
Yeah. I also lampooned the Amazon Corporation with my hot Alexa joke. Check that one out too. There's so many good jokes on that special, you guys.
The Big Gulp Kid.
I would really recommend checking it out. That's why I came.
That's why we have you here to promote it.
And I'm glad we're talking about it so much.
Do you think Bezos sees jokes people make about Amazon? Like, do you think Bezos has come across your Alexa joke online? Is it online?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, on the internet.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's on drybarcomedy.com. And
I don't know if that's this individual clip had been out, if it's just part of your special.
I actually filmed that on. I did a spot for Nate Bargatze on his YouTube channel on a series called The Showcase, and we all did short sets on there, and that was one of my jokes too. And he has a special with Amazon, so maybe something there.
Amazon has heard it in some way.
I would imagine. They know everything.
They hear everything.
Mm-hmm. It's a good interview.
I like you two because both of you will sit in awkward silences for a little bit. And I feel comfortable enough right now that I've just been letting it happen sometimes. But I think it's been a good interview.
I think it's been a good interview.
Okay.
We all agree, sounds like.
Is this over already?
No,
as quickly as it began, it's
all right,
over.
Let's wrap this up.
I feel like every time I plug the special, The Big Gulp Kid, now streaming on YouTube, it lowers the energy.
No, if anything, the momentum
feels like I'm wrapping it up. Yeah, okay.
We've been avoiding the elephant in the room.
Uh-huh.
Your comedy beginnings. What happened to turn you into the comedy superstar you are today? Were you always interested in comedy, Alex Valuto?
Alex maybe started the youngest of anyone around here. Not to steal your story, but just to set it up.
That's a little teaser. Yeah,
a little prodigy we got in front of us.
Okay.
I did some open mics when I was 16, 17 in high school.
Wow.
Yeah. Back then, the club here, Wise Guys, wasn't just 21 and over, so... They had an open mic once a month that I signed up for. I did it like 10 times during high school. Wow. And then I didn't really start again until I was like 23 in earnest, but I did start pretty early.
That's kind of similar to me, actually.
Uh-huh.
My first open mic, I was 17, and you two were both there. Though,
oh, yeah.
I wasn't about to, you know.
Down the street?
Yeah, right, the Covey Center.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I wasn't about to tug on the sleeve of two comedy giants. I was just starting out. And
just
Alex and I, when we drove home that night, we said that little boy had something up there.
Uh-huh.
What, you remember my first joke?
Yeah. But you should say what it was.
I think it was about Oreos. So I was into the world of Brad earlier.
Yeah, how do we think of these things?
Yeah.
What was your first joke, Alex?
Oh, yeah. I want to hear.
I was talking about how I was going through puberty in reverse because my voice was getting higher instead of lower, like it would crack, I remember.
That's funny.
And I said that's the similar thing to happen to Michael Jackson. He just became more and more of a little boy as he got older. This was before the scandals associated with
it. It was a more innocent joke.
It was a more innocent joke. I haven't brought it back since then, but thanks for bringing it up. How did the Oreo joke go?
The Oreo joke was about Oreos, when they were doing a cookies and cream variety of Oreos. And basically just how that was a little bit redundant.
That's true.
And how it was like Oreos inside of Oreos. That's like Oreoception. I guess my big, that was the merch. That was on the merch anyway.
You know, it's always helpful to do the merch first before you even see if the joke is good. Yeah.
Because it motivates you to make sure that joke will work eventually.
That's right.
Oreos have boxes of Oreoception shirts.
Yeah.
I'd wear one.
Okay. I'll print it.
Thank you.
One thing I thought about Oreos is, like when you dunk the Oreo in the milk, the bubbles come up, right? And I always know when it's done when the bubbles stop bubbling. It's like drowning a person. It's the same method to dunking an Oreo as it would be to take a life via drowning.
So you go till there's no bubbles up.
Yeah.
You like a pretty mushy Oreo.
Yeah. And I'm like, you stay down there. You deserve this.
And this is an example of the kind of twisted thinking.
That's right. That was my angle on the Oreos. It's no Oreoception.
Yeah, no. So you have an interesting background as far as your dad is concerning. Now listen, hear me out here.
Mm-hmm.
Now listen to what I'm saying.
I just started crying right now.
We would just try and
we learned why you're drowning Oreos. He has an occupation that is, I think, pretty incredible.
Yeah, he's a comic book artist, if that's what you're alluding to. you're so good at these setups, man. It's just hard for me to play him off as natural. I'm just so impressed. Yeah, he worked for Marvel and DC at certain points in his career. He did Moon Knight. He did Justice League, the Task Force. Familiar? There's the Justice League, and then like they have their own little task force when Superman's busy and stuff.
Oh, like a lesser group of heroes, Justice League Task Force. Who's in that group?
It's like Martian Manhunter was in it, I remember. The Flash, but the one with like the bucket hat, the bedpan looking Flash. I don't know if you're familiar with that one.
It's a different Flash.
Yeah, he doesn't have the spiky ears. He's got like a metal version of those hats that girls that have Stanley Cups wear.
Hipster Flash. Does this Flash exist along with the other one, or is this a different version
of
the Flash?
Dimension, maybe.
I think it's a different dimension.
Okay.
He did, and he did Black Panther for a really long time. This was before the movie, but it was when I was in middle school. He did Black Panther for like four or five years. I grew up on the streets of Wakanda.
And because of this, your dad, one, got, he's in the credits of Black Panther as like a thank you.
Yeah. Right?
And you got to go with your dad to the Black Panther premiere.
That was also fun.
You got to tell some stories about that, because
so
some fun stuff happened.
My dad's a great guy, but he is a loud dude. I think all Italians are loud. I think that's just part. That's how you learn the language, is half of it is volume. So, and we're not rich people, you know, so we were trying to fit in at this Black Panther premiere. And I had gone to Men's Warehouse to get my red carpet outfit. That's kind of where I was at socioeconomically.
Did you buy or did you rent?
I bought. Just doing okay. And so it was at is it still the Kodak Theater in LA where they do the Oscars? That's where the premiere was.
You were there last year, right? Is it?
Yeah, when I was nominated.
Or it's Dolby Theater now, I think.
Oh, yeah, that sounds right.
And so we went in, we were kind of sitting in the back. They had given everyone these complimentary popcorns in a Black Panther popcorn bucket. And after the movie was over, we took the buckets because they were free. We thought it'd be a good souvenir. But then there's a hotel called the Roosevelt Hotel across the street that the after party was at. We were also invited to the after party. But we were the only people that still were carrying the buckets from the movie to the after party. And we got to the after party, and my dad wanted to take pictures with everyone. And he was in all these pictures still holding his Black Panther bucket, like with Lupita Nyong'o's there, and he still has the bucket. And so I offered to... First, I was like, let's ditch these buckets. And he's like, he didn't want to ditch the buckets. And so I offered to take them while taking pictures. And when he handed them to me, I realized he had taken like 10 more buckets as we were leaving. He would just cleaned out the whole row. So I'm walking through this premiere just with a pile of buckets, like, and my dad's like yelling at celebrities like, Michael B. Jordan, you come here and take a picture with me. I draw you in the comic. And all the security for all these celebrities are like harassing me because I'm like trying to take pictures. I'm like, no, I'm just, my dad's the comic book artist and I'm his son. I'm holding the buckets for him right now. Can I take a picture with
I would like to think there's celebrities from that movie who they like, get together like, remember that after party, that guy carrying all the buckets around?
Right.
What was with that
dude? Italian man with all the buckets?
Yeah. And my dad would be like, look over there. My son, take a picture. He's the one with the bucket. I distinctly remember being over by the bathroom and Donald Glover walked out and kind of bumped into me while I was holding my buckets.
That's pretty cool.
The only time I interacted with Childish Gambino, I feel like I was the whitest person at the Black Panther premiere.
He was like, white people in their popcorn buckets, man. I just can't let them go.
Yeah, this was like the coolest. It was like an event in Black history almost. And like,
just in got the background of every photo.
Yeah. This is the whitest dude in America with his Men's Warehouse suit holding a bunch of buckets. And what was infuriating is we saw the movie after that and went to the movie theater, and the movie theaters all around the country had the exact same buckets. So I went through that whole thing for nothing. But
did you pack them all home?
Yeah, we packed them all home.
How's the room in your luggage? Like, they're hard plastic ones, right? You can like compact them.
Yeah, well, we made it work, you know. We worked hard for those buckets, man. That was our memento from it.
Did you have one bucket as a carry-on?
Yeah.
Yes. I filled it with clothes, so you can put the other buckets in.
Shoving the bucket to the overhead.
Sorry, everybody. Yeah, put it through the little x-ray thing.
Now, Alex, do you think there's any connection between your dad's creativity in his comics and yours in your comic performance?
Whoa. That's cool you put that together. That's good. Yeah, I like that. I think there is. I think when I wanted to start pursuing comedy, it wasn't so weird of a thing in my mind to pursue kind of a weird thing, because my dad had also done something like not conventional for right. for people to do. So, and when we both, there's highs and lows with both things. I got to like see that firsthand growing up, and so when things are low for me, I know what it's like, you know?
Right.
Yeah, that's cool.
Right.
Why do you think they use the word comic to describe comedian and to describe animated drawings?
It's interesting.
Our connection was comic. This is wrong. I don't know the answer to it. Was it just because they were funny comic strips? And so if you were a comic, you were just like, oh, he's like the comics that I'd read.
Yeah.
Maybe, I have no idea.
Did funny comics predate like superhero ones, maybe? So like comics were always funny, the funnies in the newspaper.
Like Garfield.
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm.
Or Kathy.
Yeah,
or Family Circus.
It was Garfield, and then Bob Hope was really influenced by Garfield, and that's that's how comics started.
That's why Bob Hope hated Mondays so much. It all's coming together.
Yeah.
He loved a good lasagna.
Yeah, Bob. You know Bob Hope's lasagna chunk.
I know too much about both of their timelines for that to check out.
Mm-hmm.
Pretty sure Jim Davis
right.
did not predate Bob Hope.
Well, I'm pretty sure comedy... The word comedy is pretty old, so and comic just sounds like an abbreviation of it.
Comical.
That's probably what it is.
Comical. So I'm thinking maybe just separately named, and it just...
Yeah, kind of like how you're always saying, I got to check my sketch.
Right.
And you're always telling me that kind of stuff.
It's an abbreviation.
Yeah, a brief. Well. Yeah.
This answer wasn't satisfying for me. Thanks.
But we were able to ruminate on it, and that was nice. Did you ever think about combining your comedy with your dad's drawing to do like a book of comics or something?
Yeah, that'd be cool. He could just illustrate jokes I've written, and then I wouldn't have to get on stage ever again.
Does that sound appealing? I feel like
I think
enjoy
that's it. What you're inferring that I should do, and I don't appreciate it.
You're more of a written medium type of performer, I think.
You know what? I don't have to take this.
No, I think your jokes are so technically awesome that I feel like it would translate to being written down, though, too. You know? Some people rely on a real personality shtick, and you...
Some of us have charisma.
No, you have both the best of both worlds. But
thanks.
You're such a great joke
writer.
Yeah,
this sounded like an insult disguised as a compliment for a while.
Most things I say kind of sound that way, unfortunately.
Uh-huh. Alex, I have a question for you. Do you think we would have become friends? Because you and I started around the same time.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember the day you came and sat next to me at an open mic... And your heart had been recently broken by a girl breaking up with you.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think if she hadn't broken up with you that we would have never become friends?
I think we would have. I really liked your comedy. I just barely started, so give me a break.
I'm just curious. Yeah, I was just thinking about the winds of time.
Sit next to you,
the butterfly effect.
Yeah. I remember it was a big deal. I was in with the back of the room comics, the other comics that had been doing it for a while, and they finally accepted me into the back row of the
of No, the I club. Felt cool that you sat by me.
And
so, you started before Jordan, but not too much.
Like 4 months before or something.
Yeah.
So Alex was really good off the bat.
So me going to sit by Jordan was a real, like, humility move.
It still is every time you come and sit by me.
Because I could be in the back with the cool guys, but I just saw some potential in this guy, and I decided to sit with him and strike up a friendship, and we've been keeping it up till this day.
It was nerve-wracking. It was like a hot girl was talking to me.
Yeah.
Like I felt like a kid in high school.
Uh-huh.
And that energy persists.
Yeah, sorry, in high school, yeah, not just like in general.
I was grooming you.
And who, back in those days, those cool comics you're talking about, are any of them people that our fan base would know?
Andy Gold was one of them. I remember. I don't know. Christian Piper did a dry bar special.
Yeah.
He was one of them. I remember very funny comic. Abby Harrison was one of the people.
Yeah.
So I was in with those guys.
Wow. And he degraded himself to come stay with me. And I'm glad you did.
I don't believe in that kind of stuff. I think you should be nice to people. Except for you.
I'm very mean to you. It's mute.
When you asked me to do this, I asked you to pick me up from the airport, and that was purely a power move.
And what did I say?
You said we should do it today so I could get my own ride. Because my excuse was like, oh, it's going to be kind of tight. I'm getting in at noon and I have the show at 7. So maybe if you picked me up from the airport and drove me to Provo, we can make it work out. But I think you saw right through that.
I did. I was just like, these are the typical Veluto mind games. Yeah. Get used to it. But you're a very gracious guest, it turns out. You brought drinks.
I did.
You're a joy to talk to.
And I have a full, like, 3-course meal over here we haven't even eaten. I didn't think that through, but
I don't know how long we've been going since there's no clock. Did you keep track of when we started?
No, this doesn't feel like the end, though.
It doesn't feel like the end. But I felt like you were trying to wrap up just now.
No, I just was complimenting Alex. Good.
Thank goodness.
Yeah.
Yeah. What did your dad do for work growing up, Taylor?
My dad is, he's still working. He's a salesman, and he sold different things, pharmaceuticals, and I think. That's it, I don't know. But now he sells software and internet to companies. And,
okay.
So, yeah.
That's cool.
But nothing really creative in my family. Until I came along.
It seemed like
upended the whole thing.
Yeah.
Yeah. Pharmaceuticals is a good racket.
Yeah. Yeah. I've heard him say before.
It's too bad he's not still in that game.
He says that it would have been a lot more profitable.
Yeah.
Than what he's doing.
And I would know someone who knows someone, you know. Mm-hmm. I love a good pharmaceutical.
We know this.
I'm very pro big pharma, you know. I like what they're doing.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
If big pharma could please message Alex on Instagram. Uh-huh.
That's my next pharma. Gonna have a whole Pfizer chunk next time you see me.
But all pro Pfizer.
Pro Pfizer.
You and Travis Kelce, dude.
Uh-huh. These anti Pfizer nitwits, so annoying.
I know. Oh, did you see the Pfizer's Super Bowl commercial?
No.
They had one that their whole commercial was about, like, how we like science, but they showed, like, Galileo and Isaac Newton and then, like, their Pfizer stuff. I'm like, okay. Sir Isaac Newton didn't work for Pfizer when he discovered gravity. Like,
I'm going to make a cut of my comedy that's like Richard Pryor, Brian Regan, Jordan Macon. Yeah, exactly. The natural evolution of comedy. Yeah.
Get out of here, Pfizer.
Do you guys know Paxlovid? Those commercials?
Got COVID. Think Paxlovid.
Paxlovid. That is just so funny to me. That name is like, it's like memorable, but at the same time,
it's weird. It's like if I changed my name to John Romedy. Comedy? Think John Romedy.
Wait, we know that it rhymed with comedy, but what was it again? John Willis Romedy.
Alex, you've been doing more crowd work recently. Mm. You did a full crowd work show. Tell the listeners at home how you approach a crowd work situation.
I'll often ask them what their dad did for work growing up, and I try and go from there and riff on something.
Just like that?
Just like that.
Is that a new thing you've been doing?
You can ask them what they do for work.
You got a good one last night.
Oh, yeah. Last night, there was this guy that worked for a refrigeration packing company that they have these big refrigeration containers that they ship things that need to be refrigerated.
Yeah.
And he mentioned like they ship food and cadavers. That was the second thing he listed in his list of things. And then he moved on to other ones. I'm like, hold up. Cadavers? Apparently they ship multiple cadavers in these refrigeration trucks, and he has to make sure that they stay at a certain temperature so the bodies don't go bad and stuff.
Wild.
So apparently there's meat thermometers involved, I'd imagine. It was a whole thing. It was crazy.
I like that he snuck in a number two.
Yeah.
Yeah, stuff needs refrigerated, food, cadavers, ice cream. Wait, what?
Yeah. Same truck?
Yeah, I thought it was the same truck. There was another guy there that worked at Coca-Cola that I think they knew each other because they have to ship the Coke cold. And I think a Coca-Cola cadaver combo truck, that's how Pepsi gets made. Yeah.
It just happened.
That's why it tastes like a little bit different. It tastes a little human, you know?
Yeah, but yeah. You've seen those commercials with the Coke, like where the Coke truck collides with a thing of oranges and it makes orange Coke?
Yeah.
That's when a Coke truck.
Yep. And you get
crashes Grandpa into a graveyard. Sprite,
you know? Yeah.
What is your favorite, like, limited soda that's been discontinued?
I love this conversation topic.
Do you have a favorite one?
I love the orange Coke a lot.
You really did like that, huh?
Yes.
I like that cranberry Sprite they come out with during Christmas.
Oh, yeah, that's really good.
Yeah, that's really good.
Cranberry winter spiced cranberry, I think it's called.
Mm-hmm.
Did you ever try like the clear? Were we too young for like the clear Coke they made?
I don't think I've tried that. No,
I think it was before our time. But they made like a clear, like it was like Sprite, but it tasted like Coca-Cola.
Yeah, that wasn't New Coke, right? New Coke was something else.
I don't know what's New Coke.
This was back in the 80s, 90s, I believe. They came out with a new flavor of original Coke. And they called it New Coke.
And it didn't last.
The people revolted.
Oh, right. No, I do remember hearing about that.
Yeah.
I feel like it was called Crystal, like Crystal Coke or Crystal Pepsi.
Yeah.
These all sound like drugs.
That is true. Yeah. That's why they discontinued.
Crystal Coke.
Yeah. I don't venture out a whole lot, but I like when they try new things.
Yeah.
But I don't know if I necessarily like, they usually go extinct for a reason.
Yeah, except that rare, you know, good one. Everyone's tastes are different, and then the one you like sometimes just doesn't stick around, which is sad.
Sorry, I'm very sorry about Orange Coke.
It's all right.
You okay?
It's all right.
Do you guys get into the dirty sodas? The
like it's
the
so ones delicious.
With the mix-ins? Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, what's those your go-to popular for soda here. Mix-ins?
I like cranberry in them. Cranberry
I love
and lime.
Cranberry
yeah.
And lime.
Yeah. Wow, that's crazy. We both like the same flavor.
You two finally have something in common. Oh, that's cool.
We actually have a shocking amount in common, maybe.
Mm-hmm. That's why we're too similar. That's why we don't get along.
I used to, there were times when we talk about me being your official opener. And I did open for you a lot back
then,
for a while.
And then you've since quit? Is that what happened? What's your status on comedy lately?
I don't do stand-up, really, but I do a lot of improv.
You do improv.
Yeah.
That's
cool. And sketch and stuff like that. I've really
podcaster, that. Filmmaker, improv comedian.
Multi-hyphenate? Yeah, that's what they say when you have a bunch of hyphens in your titles. Like filmmaker hyphen, comedian hyphen, you know.
Oh,
like
cool.
John Wilkes Booth. No, Wilkes Booth.
That's just three names. No, I don't think there's hyphens involved there.
Okay, well.
Like little hyphens isn't like just a little dash.
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm. Like you're connecting them all together.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. You could use commas too.
Yeah, I prefer the commas.
Multi-comma guy.
Mm-hmm.
No, doesn't have the same
you're right.
ring.
You were right all along.
So what is next for you, Alex Velluto? Are there any exciting projects that you're working on? Or
I'm working on a podcast of my own. Should be out soon.
Oh, cool.
Where I put an ad out on Craigslist offering people to be on my podcast in exchange for a free lunch. and I buy them lunch, and I interview usually a homeless person. It's called Free Lunch. It will be out soon. I used to do it. I did it back in the day, but I've got a production company with me now that's helping me bring it back, and I interviewed some crazy people already, so that should be out soon.
Oh, cool.
Whoa. Yeah. Any teasers you can give us about stuff that happened on the episode?
The guy I interviewed was obviously someone that lives off of Craigslist, so he does all sorts of jobs kind of sight unseen.
Yeah.
Like an extra on a bunch of stuff. And the biggest thing I remember is he admitted that he wears taxidermied animal tails just for fun out around town.
He just offered that information.
Yeah,
huh?
He just offered that.
I remember people doing that in high school, like raccoon tails and whatnot, but they were usually fake.
Right. This guy,
he gets the real thing.
Yeah, he gets taxidermied animal tails off of eBay and wears them around. And then he complained to me how he got it taken away at airport security.
On what grounds? That's an outrage.
Yeah, that's not on the list of things. It's like flammables, aerosols, weapons. They don't say anything about a raccoon tail.
Taxidermied animal tails. How is he, maybe I don't want to know how he's attaching them. Does he make a belt out of them?
Yeah, I didn't ask that part.
Yeah,
I think it's a clip-on situation to the back of your...
Hopefully.
Yeah, I don't think there's any surgery involved.
Did he say why? Is it just something he likes doing?
He just likes doing it.
It's his thing.
Cool guy.
It's like there's this guy around here who like glues coins to the top of his bald head. Have you seen this guy?
Really?
Yes. It sounds like the setup for a pun, but it's not.
He has a lot of common sense.
Yeah.
No, this is a real guy. Just he glues them, and sometimes to like different words, like Happy New Year or something. But he'll glue pennies to the top of his head.
When you say around here, like Utah, or like
yeah, I've seen him walking down the street. Yeah,
from the high floor of the building, you can look down and see what message he has.
Yeah, sometimes I'll get a little glare through the window and it's the sun bouncing off the top of his head.
That's a lot of work. I feel like I sweat too much and they would all fall off.
For
all
what
the time.
Payoff, also?
What kind of glue are you using that does skin to metal? That seems like a lot.
It's actually, he's invented a glue and it's an advertising. It's a way of advertising this brand new glue he's using.
Yeah.
Is that true or is
no,
that?
It's a lie. It's not a joke either.
Yeah.
It's a lie.
Penny skin
that would
glue.
Be cool.
Yeah.
I was talking to a friend. You were talking about him getting the tails taken away, going through TSA.
Mm-hmm.
What would they do if you brought a live crab through the TSA? Like there was a live crab in your.
I think as long as you took him out of the water, you might be able to do it. Or if he was like your support, emotional support animal.
Yeah.
Emotional support.
Crabs are not very supportive in my experience.
Oh, no. They tend to pull you down.
They live up to their name. Well, would it be, I think if it stayed still enough in, if you had it in your bags and it just was getting scanned, if it wasn't moving when it went through, I think they just think it's a crab.
What would they be more likely to let through, a dead crab or the conversation?
You can't bring food, right? You can bring food as we package. You put the crab in a Ziploc bag.
Yeah. Yeah, we were just talking about the worst things to
this
eat.
This is my snack for the plane.
That's where the conversation came from. The worst thing to bring on a plane to snack on. Like tuna fish, like a full lobster that you're like cracking.
Right.
What if you brought a live, crustacean on? What happened?
Just have to murder it.
Yeah.
After takeoff, you need to do it on the tray table and they don't like you to have that down during takeoff. So you have to make sure that you do it at the right time during the flight.
Everything's kosher.
Yeah. Make sure that no one has a shellfish allergy on board.
Yeah.
They can't even serve peanuts anymore, but you might not be able to crack open a crab on a plane.
I just would love the whole bit. You got the whole bib situation. You got like the multiple utensils, the cracker, like the scooper.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The airline worker comes by to the row. Just by so you know, by sitting in this row, you've consented to have this man eat crab next to you. Can I get a verbal yes from each of you?
You know, you haven't lived until you've eaten crab at 50,000 feet.
Yeah.
This thing comes from the ocean below.
Deep sea crab.
Mm-hmm. He is so far away from home. And
you
I
actually
will
let the pressure kill him.
Yeah, you put the crab next to the window to just give him a glimpse of what the world really is. Yeah.
Kiss the ocean goodbye.
That's how you kill him. You give him so much perspective that he just, his mind is blown.
I'm flying to the air. Uh-huh.
Well, it's because crabs can like live forever, right? It's true.
I didn't know this.
I don't think crabs die of old age.
Crabs are immortal.
No, they absolutely die of old age.
No.
There's certain species of jellyfish that can reproduce by themselves.
This sounds like one of your funny ideas you come up with. I'm telling you, I make live for hundreds of years.
Oh man, let's get this fact checked.
So if you leave a crab alone,
yeah,
it will just keep living on.
It'll keep living.
It's like a tortoise.
You can go longer than a tortoise.
Oh wow.
I think there's either crabs or lobsters that they don't know. Listen to me. That they don't know how long they live because there's just ones that have just been alive forever. Wow. That's crazy how I'm saying it.
Crabs are dinosaurs.
Can I Google it on here? Right
yeah,
now?
Please do. I love – crabs are so funny to me. I used to when I spent some time out east on the East Coast, mm-hmm. we used to dangle chicken down off the dock. And crabs would just latch onto it, and you could pull them out of the water and into a bucket because they wanted to eat the chicken so bad. It's just
so. Are they pretty easy to?
Yeah. You can shake them off, but for the most part, they're like they will just cling to it until you get them in the bucket.
Yeah, I was wrong about crabs. Average lifespan 3 to 5 years.
Whoa,
just a little bit.
But I meant lobsters. Okay, that's what I meant.
Okay,
lobsters. Now this is Google saying there's no evidence that they can live forever, but the oldest one on record is 140 years old.
Wow!
And we cracked them open and ate them.
Did they really?
Well, I just don't believe they die on their own, so I think they would have to.
What is the meat in a 140-year-old lobster like?
Salty. Unless it's a freshwater lobster. Never mind.
A little chewy. Has a lot of wisdom.
Yeah, you can really taste the wisdom. Mm-hmm. The animals that can live forever.
There's a jellyfish. I know that. There's a whale that lives an insane amount of years. You got a...
I just think somebody needs to get a lobster, give it a really nice environment with no intentions of eating it, no predators, feed it the best food, mm-hmm. and let's just see how long it can go. I don't think anybody's doing that.
Why aren't we studying these lobsters to see if we can take some of whatever genes they've got
exactly.
and make ourselves live forever?
Yeah.
We'll have a whole race of lobster people. That'll be the next problem we've got.
Is it a certain species of lobster, or is it just the generic one you get at the market?
Kind.
There's only one kind of lobster. Yeah, that checks out.
Yeah, I don't know. Let me... lobster that can live forever.
Man. This is what I call a delightful sidetrack.
Google's really disagreeing. Lobsters certainly do not live forever. Can lobsters live 200 years? Okay, now this website says a lobster may live forever if it's not killed or malnourished. This is from
what's that website?
Theinertia.com.
So when you eat a lobster, that double stinks for that lobster.
Yeah.
It's like I could have lived forever.
Yeah.
And now I'm dinner.
Yeah, but if a lobster is just living in the wild, it has predators, you know, so.
Right.
What predators do lobster have?
Sharks. I don't know. I'm not a marine biologist. I had one fun fact that everyone wants to disagree with me on.
Well, if you don't know all the follow-ups, you're completely just full of it.
Octopus, I would think.
Yeah. Cuttlefish?
Cuttlefish, bad. Kill lots of lobster every year.
Yeah.
Is the cuttlefish the one with the antenna?
No, that's a anglerfish.
Angler. What's the cuttlefish?
Cuttlefish are octopus-looking things that like will swim backwards like this, but they kind of have a pointy head on the end.
Oh, okay.
Can you picture that?
They don't look cuddly at all.
Do they attack you from the back? Like they have to go backwards into you?
No, I think because their beak is on the beak is on the from the front. Let's get our marine biologist on this one.
This interview.
What is there, Walt?
This is what stuff I love. I love this stuff.
This it's not cuddle like cuddle. Uh-huh. It's cuttle.
Cuttlefish.
Cuttlefish. That's a cool looking one.
Okay.
Yeah, but it does move backwards most of the time, right? And then, but then it'll wrap around and then bite you with its beak.
Okay.
Wow. Yeah, I don't know if looking at them, it's disconcerting.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I wish I hadn't Googled them.
Yeah.
The deep ocean does terrify me.
Yeah.
There's stuff there we don't know about.
There is. I think we should study it more.
We should get down there. What's stopping us?
Yeah. I think that submersible thing really took a hit. Made it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It put us years back on us exploring the ocean.
No one's going to want to explore it since that. But that's kind of like if there was just some dude that wanted to make a rocket and it blew up. And
yeah.
Like a rocket with an Xbox controller.
Yeah. So that's referencing that story where they went down to look at the wreckage of the Titanic.
Mm-hmm.
It was steered by some sort of gaming controller.
Right.
Which is actually, I looked it up, is pretty typical for submarines.
Really?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It doesn't control everything, but it controls like different mechanisms. Uh-huh. Now I'm out of my depth.
Heyo. I feel like I derailed this conversation about marine things. I like where it's gone.
I think we've been talking for 3 hours.
Alex, what do we need to know about your comedy going forward? How do we get more Alex Valuto content?
Well, first of all, check out the Big Gulp Kid on YouTube or the Dry Bar Comedy app. I'd really like you to see it. I worked hard on it, and I think it's good, so I think you should watch
it. Check it out.
Don't you guys agree?
Yeah,
yeah,
and definitely there'll be more clips coming for people to enjoy.
Yeah, and I'm on Instagram. I'm at @avaluto on Instagram, and then at Alex Valuto everywhere else. Alex Valuto on Instagram, he posted 4 times and never posted again.
Oh, that's why you're @avaluto, huh?
Yeah,
I'm
a little worried about the other Alex Valuto though.
Is it you?
No. It's just some Italian guy that posted like a picture of an empty room and then a picture of a lightning storm. And then he just checked out. Like,
oh, man.
That seems like somebody left clues for us to solve their murder.
I know, yeah, right? Yeah. I'm a little concerned for @AlexValuto on Instagram. I've messaged him asking him if I could have his username, and then eventually I just was like, are you okay? Are you alive?
No responses.
No response.
He didn't see your messages, no like red.
No.
Oh, so, man. I'm worried about him too.
Yeah, so if you know, I've legit looked up the death certificate database to see if Alex Valuto has died, because then I could go to Instagram and get my username back. I think if you show a death certificate, they legit will give you.
That's wild.
So if you know anyone that can forge a death certificate, I'd love to be at Alex Valuto on Instagram.
So we either hope he's alive and starts checking his messages or that he's dead in the death certificate.
Yeah.
So you can get that username.
Yeah, exactly.
And you can remain the one true Alex Valuto.
You're always the one true.
Thanks,
guys. Alex and I truly have done comedy together since our beginnings. I mean, Alex started a little before me, but I've seen Alex grow and evolve and... You're truly one of the funniest people I know.
Awesome.
And you get funnier every time I see you.
Thanks, man. You too.
I mean, I wasn't fishing for one, but thanks.
Yeah.
This is nice to hear this stuff.
It's good to know you also.
Yeah. That's the answer, folks. That's the answer.
Are we wrapping this thing up?
I think so.
It's been really fun.
It has been fun.
Oh, good.
Love it. Talking to you about crabs and every other random thing we talked about.
Alex, is there anything you want to plug besides your special before we get out of here?
Well, there's a cause near and dear to my heart, where I think that lobsters are being endangered because they don't live forever. Actually, it's the crab. The lowly crab.
Lowly crab.
3 to 5 years. So if you go to my website and join my email list, I will donate a proceed from something to the crab, where the crab. We'll take it out of its habitat so it doesn't have predators, and let it live out its 3 to 5 year lifespan just on its own.
That's yeah. noble, Alex. Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you. I'm glad I brought this up to both of you.
It's crablivesmatter.com.
Oh, no.
No, we almost made it, Alex. We almost made it. Well, thank you, Boom! Alex.
You're welcome.
And thank you to the viewers. We hope that we can have you back on and continue getting... I feel like we only got a slice of your comedy journey. The next time we'll get another slice until we have the full pie.
Yeah, wow. That's a great way to look at it. Well, thanks for having me, guys. Sorry for that last joke, but I hope to be back soon.
It's all good.
Thanks for the big gulps, and we're going to go let's destroy this roast beef as soon as we get out of the studio.
Yeah, let's do it.
Yeah, thank you, viewers. This has been the Dry Bar Comedy Podcast. Leave a review and check out our merch. We'll see you next time.
Bye, everybody.